Hello and welcome back to the Herb Doctor podcast with me, Katrina Hegarty, and Dr. Dailish Clare. What is the podcast about today?
I'm going to teach people how to help themselves using herbs with acute or chronic sinusitis. If you suffer from acute or chronic sinusitis, you know how miserable it can be. Sometimes you can't even, I've had patients who haven't even been able to tolerate wearing their glasses.
My goodness.
Because it's just so exquisitely painful and tender. It's very tiring. Any kind of chronic infection or even acute or chronic infection is very tiring. And it also is associated with poor sleep, which adds to the fatigue because you're mouth breathing the whole time, which takes a lot more effort. And it's also not very good for all kinds of things, including our mental health. I used to, when I was doing full-time general practice with just the pharmacy model, the one time I was very mean with antibiotics, even way back then. And the one time I felt they were justified was with sinusitis, and that it needed a longer course than of antibiotics than usual, because it is very hard to get anything into the sinuses. And I'll show you why. That includes herbs.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea was that you would use a longer course, but it's since been realized that antibiotics are not even part of the answer and they are not a good fit for the solution. The only proven beneficial pharmaceutical treatment is a nasal steroid spray for patients who have a post-nasal drip. So you might find that useful, but hopefully having learned how to help yourself with herbs, you won't even find that necessary. Post-nasal drip is a chronic runny nose, which you can feel dripping down the back of your throat. And it's usually associated with an annoying tickly cough. That's what's characteristic of it. So much so that people don't notice themselves. It's the people around them who can get very irritated with this constant cough because we just get used to whatever is bothering us. You can use the nasal spray or any necessary antibiotics for any infection. You can use them in conjunction with the herbs. Pharmacy medicine does not address the reason for chronic mucus production. And it's the chronic mucus production that then gets infected, which is the underlying problem. So even with using the spray, when you stop the spray, the steroid spray, the problem returns. So the natural medical model starts with diet. I say to people, stop eating wheat for 6 weeks. Okay? Even if you're not gluten intolerant, even if you're not sure that it's a problem, the reason is because it's often a food that we eat too much of in any case, that we over-rely on. And gliadin is a nutrient constituent that's actually very hard to digest and has unhelpful effects on lining of the gut, especially if we eat too much. So it's kind of like a cumulative thing, and it's just a rest period. It's not saying that you're an intolerance or an allergy or celiac disease. It's just give it a rest for 6 weeks. Reintroduce it then. If the symptoms recur, stay off it for a further 6 weeks. So you're using, again, we have that science model of N equals one, where you are the only subject that you care about because you're the one in pain. On our website, Dr. Clare Apothecary, you'll find a leaflet on a wheat-free diet. So it's all there for you. The other thing I say is to stop eating dairy. You may be one of the people who increase mucus production when they eat food made from milk. Sometimes less so with cultured dairy products, like yogurt. What we never think about is that we are the only mammals that consistently through our lives eat the milk from another mammal.
Yeah.
It's an interesting concept. And to do it to the extent that we do, it's not necessarily a problem. But to be imbibing milk from cows to the extent that we do is possibly a difficulty or wouldn't be a usual thing for mammals to do. Okay. We also have a dairy-free leaflet on the website. So eliminate and reintroduce according to 6 weeks as described for the wheat. When reintroducing foods, only reintroduce one at a time. So do the wheat and the dairy in sequence with each other because it gets too complicated otherwise. The leaflet also mentions other sources of calcium because it's important. Dairy is very rich in calcium, but there are other sources and I like the variety. All right, particularly sardines. If you can't take the additional calcium from your diet, then be sure and take a supplement, all right, from your health food shop or pharmacy. Because the restrictions are for 6 weeks, I say to people, just take your time, get yourself organized, you know, think about what you're going to use instead of the wheat or instead of the dairy, get them in your cupboard. So do it in a timely, organized fashion, not a week before Christmas, you know, that, you know, or Easter, right? So think it through so that you can do it consistently for the 6 weeks. That's one of the biggest things when people are changing their diet, that they think, oh God, I've got to do everything all at the same time. Take it handy. Think through breakfast, lunch and dinner. Have a food box in your car. You know, one of the things that I say to people is get some gluten-free oat cakes and have them in the car. The typical one is an Irish funeral where there is sandwiches and not much else. And all the shops are closed. So that's just a local tip. But also have some fruit and, you know, foods that are nuts and seeds and things that will allay your appetite until you can get a proper meal. This is most important for lots of reasons, as the build up with my podcasts will show. Lots of garlic, onions, spring onions, leeks and chives. Also, and you can fill me in, what are the herbs and spices that are antimicrobial for wrapping meat in? Rosemary, thyme, sage. So the other important thing is the foods with the essential fatty acids. And there's a leaflet on the essential fatty acids. In summary, it's oily fish, nuts and seeds, and avocados. I always prefer the sardines because they're the smallest fish, the least accumulated toxicity, rich in calcium. You can alternate them between the oil and the tomato and the brine, and they're just super nutrient for you. Lots of green vegetables as part of 7 to 10 portions of fruit and veg per day. Patients go, what? Really? You can't be serious? And I go, yes, I am. The government advises a minimum of 5. Now, why would the government tell us a minimum to keep body and soul hanging in there together? Not a good idea. So 7 to 10, and I say vegetables and fruit, more vegetables than fruit. Both are good. Don't think about what you like and you don't like. I have patients who go, but I don't like vegetables. And I kind of go, I don't care. People say they don't like vegetables. They've never even tried. Right. So you go to the vegetable section of your shopping, you know, which is usually somewhere around the edges. And you look at every box. You look for every colour, you look for every texture, and you introduce a new one, or you make sure that you repurpose an old one that you use usually, but a lot of variety and a lot of different colours. And then you make them into the whatever way is easier for you to dislike them. Sure. Usually soup or a casserole. But really, you know, we revert to being toddlers. We all do. Now, having said that, you don't have to eat all 25 vegetables. You can have one or two where you kind of go, no way, Jose, this is never going to happen. That's fine. You're let off. But there should be a good variety of all that's available to us. And look at, aren't we so, so blessed to have all of this food? If any of you have ever grown any vegetables, you will appreciate, you know, all of the work, the transport, the organization, everything that goes into behind it. So do yourself a favor, or as I say, do yourself a flavor and get them all into you. These are important for your sinuses. They're important for your immune system, but they're important for lots of other things as well. You really will be solving a lot of problems, preventing a lot of problems. So let's get back to the sinuses. The sinuses are a problem. Katrina is going to help me out here, my able assistant. So what I have is a black Sharpie on white paper. There's eyes. There is a triangle with a hole on the lower surface over both eyes. And they are over the eyebrow sinuses. Very little problem because the hole, the drainage hole for all the mucus produced inside is not challenged by gravity. It's a downward clearance. Now we go to the ones on either side of our nose.
And again, it's shaped like a triangle, but high up on the inside nasal aspect, there is a drainage hole up near the eyes. And you think, that is not a good design, because that whole triangular pocket can fill with grunge and be very difficult to clear. If it's in any way thickened or just not very well drained and cleared. Now, you might think, why on earth do we have these empty cavities? And it's because we're standing upright. If we were on all fours, like a dog or a fox or an elephant, we would have sinus drainage holes in the right position, as I will demonstrate very simply by turning the picture upside down. Okay? And then you see that that would be in alliance with gravity if we were on four legs. Mm-hmm. It would be this way. Okay. So hence we have problems. This is a problem of evolution, of going from four legs to two legs. There's two other ways that we know that we're still evolving. One is varicose veins and the other is hemorrhoids, which are varicose veins in our bums. Okay. Lovely. Lovely. There's another problem with the sinuses in that this is a cold bone with a very poor blood supply. The blood supply has been dragged in from the nasal passages to spread out around that bone. And it's cold because bones are cold tissues. And combine that with poor drainage. It's very hard. The blood supply is the delivery system, whether you're using antibiotics or herbs. So if you combine the herbs, even if you're on antibiotics, you get a better effect because the herbs will be used to open up the blood supply. And that will help take away the rubbish and also bring in the healing herbs and the antibacterial herbs. Does that create a picture?
It does, definitely. Yeah.
Okay, so that picture will guide how we manage the treatment. Okay. The gravity also explains why a lot of people get a post-nasal discharge or post-nasal drip at night when they lie down, because that's when the mucus drains.
Yeah.
Okay. So where do we start? We start with a friction rub. And for this, I'm going to have to take off my glasses. And then I'm going to act as though, well, I will actually whistle if I can. So by doing that, I'm bringing down and tightening the tissue here. And then using two or three fingers, I'm rubbing friction over the cheekbones. Is your nose clearer?
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. So just doing that without any herbs will help open up those sinuses.
Wow.
Because you're heating the bone. So you can get added and more prolonged effect by heating the bone using some herbs. And for that reason, we have a eucalyptus cream. You can make your own using olive oil and any of these substances and a base oil, or just simply eucalyptus oil. We use eucalyptus oil, prickly ash, myrrh, and cayenne pepper. All right? That all sounds lovely and hot, doesn't it?
It sounds, yeah.
It's warming. So you dip your fingers in the cream, just a tiny bit, and you do the same friction rub using this cream. Now, always test any cream on a small area of unaffected, especially not your face, area, to make sure you're not allergic to anything. And then when it's nice and warm, that will maintain the heat for much longer. So that's what you want to do. Now, the other important thing with anything like that is to wash your hands.
Mm, always.
As though you were chopping chilies.
Oh.
Okay. So that's important. That was number one. Number two is nasal irrigation, right? If you go to your pharmacy, they'll sell you a kit that has little sachets. It's a bottle, like a water bottle. What? With an irrigation sprout here on the top. You put the saline mix in and you wash out your sinuses or over the sink so that it drains properly. It's all the instructions are in there. You can also use a neti pot, Which is you'll get from any yoga suppliers. Kind of Asian countries are much better at looking after nasal hygiene than we are, so that's another, that's a traditional way of using it. The advantage of using the sterile sachets is that it's sterile. But you can, if the traditional use is to use just a pinch of salt in the water. But I can't guarantee that the salt is sterile. So you make up your own decision as to whether you want to go with the traditional way of doing things or you want the guarantee of total sterility. You do the friction rubs, the nasal irrigation, and then you do a steam inhalation. And you do that using more essential oils. You can use eucalyptus, kajaput, juniper or cloves. Some of the other commercial products have wintergreen, also called galtheria, or birch oil. And the problem with those, and not for the vast majority of people, is that they have methyl salicylates, and that's not suitable for everybody. So the eucalyptus oil, the kajaput, the juniper and cloves, any combination of those is fine. For years, people have been using the other commercial products and I've never known anybody have a problem. But there you go. How do you use them? A basin of water, 2, 3, 4 drops of oil, whatever you can tolerate, towel over your head, and then you just breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. If it gets too intense, you can just let a bit of air in by opening up the towel and letting some cool air in. So you can ventilate it according to your own needs and make sure there are no children around that can tip it over. But you make a tent and have a good steaming of the, and warming and heating and draining. And now we go on to number 4. Postural drainage. Remember what I did with the sinuses?
Mm-hmm.
I just turned the page upside down.
Yeah.
So how do you turn your head upside down? You could do a handstand. You could do a headstand. Most of my patients can't do either of those, and neither can I. So the other thing you can do is put your head below your heart by lying across the bed, across a double bed. And you read your magazine, put your magazine on the floor and read your magazine for as long as it takes for these to drain. That's different from patient to patient. Usually 7 to 10 minutes, right? Or you can just do your meditation practice. Wouldn't that be cool? So what you want to do is, having mobilized all this gunk, turned your head upside down and heated the bone, heated the air going in. Now you go upside down and you let the whole thing empty. So you're depriving the bacteria of their dinner. Okay?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Now, the other way to do this is to heat the bone, open the circulation, and deliver disinfectants and immune herbs via teas and tinctures. So if you have chronic sinusitis, you follow this regime for 6 weeks and results are guaranteed. People say, how much, how often? As much as you can and as frequently as you can. Right. If you're a working parent with 3 children under 5, I'm not going to have the same expectation as somebody who's retired and has, you know, all the time to take care of this. And you work according to what, if you've got 3 children under 5, you won't be doing inhalations at the kitchen table while they're running around anyway. So this has to be individualized. If you can do it less frequently, you do it for 8 weeks. Okay, if you're doing it totally intensively, doing this 3 or 4 times a day, you probably only need to do it for 4 weeks. So the 6 weeks is an average. And as always with herbal medicine, it's individualized. Anything that you can do will help. And you intensify all of these things for acute sinusitis, right? When your pain will drive you to be able to do as many of these things as possible. If you do 2 things out of the 4 things, will that help? Yes. If you do 1 thing out of the 4 things, it'll help. If you do 4 things out of the 4 things, it'll help even more. All right? As well as this, you live the good life, regular exercise, daylight for your immune system, and stop smoking. Yeah, that was easy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Very easy to say. I'm not a fan of vaping, by the way, and sometimes people just go from the fire into the fireplace, into the smoke, into the fire, whatever the expression is. Okay. So the other thing is the oral herbs. So there's two ways of doing this. There's tea and tincture. The congestion tea, if you have chronic sinusitis, I suggest you use the congestion tea for those 6 weeks. My formula is thyme, elderflower, peppermint, plantain, yarrow, rose hips, and then a much smaller amount of cayenne. It's on the website. I have no secrets. I have no. These have been used by me, my ancestors, your ancestors for thousands of years. There might be a slightly different variation from one jurisdiction to another, but this is basically it. It doesn't taste too bad. You know, that's the good news. And you can put it in with your smoothie. You can use it as the base. If you do make a smoothie, you can do that. If I want somebody to take teas on a regular basis for 6 weeks, I suggest you make a teapot full. We do have 3 teaspoon tea bags or tea sachets, which the compliance is just like so amazingly better. But they're a little bit more expensive because obviously they're handmade, but it does make a big difference to the compliance. So 3 teaspoons in a teapot, and then you can put it, this probably is better used warm, but you can take it cold as well. And you can put it in a flask so you're not reboiling your kettle all day, because that's a big hit on your electricity bill. So this is very easy once you're committed to it. And as I say, you can make up your own blends using similar herbs. You can myrica, solidago. There's lots of other ones that you can use. And then if this is going into acute sinus, or you're starting all of this with an acute sinus infection, but they tend to recur, you can do the acute sinus management, which is exactly the same. But I would also suggest using a tincture blend to get a good head start on it. And our tincture blend is called Mucotone, and it contains thyme, echinacea, ginseng, mallow root, Icelandic moss, cat's claw, licorice, garlic, with smaller amounts of licorice and ginger. And again, the garlic is in there. Garlic, 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 garlic. Garlic is the first antibiotic. Garlic and thyme, right? Fantastic, right? So, yeah. You can use just for the inhalation, you can use the clove oil and the eucalyptus if you want to simplify it. Very, very useful to have clove oil in the house for toothache. Oh, it works so much better than painkillers. And in an emergency, and here's a little freebie at the end of this. If anybody has a toothache, split a clove of garlic, put 2 or 3 drops of clove oil, put it in against the abscessed tooth, right, or painful tooth. Leave it there for 10 minutes and then spit it out. You can actually swallow it. And if you chop it up, don't choke yourself. Half a clove of garlic, please. But that is antiseptic, and it then relieves the pain. And don't eat sugar. I've proven this to myself. You know, if you eat a feed of sugar when you have an abscess, 20 minutes later, it will throb like I don't know what. Okay. So there's just another 2 things to have. And I hope people are building up their first aid kit as to what's useful, right? We know number 1 in there, chamomile. Number 2, thyme. Number 3, dandelion root. You're beginning to see the recurring elderflower. It's very nice. And elderberries. I love elderberries as well. So you're building up a recipe foundations for all of your everyday herbal health needs.
Fabulous.
Yeah, I think that's really important. The more chamomile is in my cupboard now as well.
Good.
And the next thing I'm going to get is clove oil. So these are the things I'm going to get. And I think that's
really, really important for everybody to, what you said there, just to build up that foundation.
Yeah, we've lost the daily connection, kitchen, cupboard, you know, where do you start? And if we start treating all of these things before they become properly septic, we can head an awful lot of things out and reduce the pressure on antibiotic use.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, number big concern of the World Health Organization is, and it's been growing since the mid-1980s. I had a brilliant teacher for general practice, Dr. John Miller, and he, in the mid-1980s, his refrain to patients is, most things get better in a week with antibiotics and 7 days without them.
That's interesting, yeah. That's brilliant.
And we've known since the 1980s, and the amount of antibiotic prescribing is increasing year on year, even though doctors know the problems. We're well aware of them. It's not influencing practice. It'll take patients going to the doctor and saying, I do not want an antibiotic unless there is significant clinical indications for it, for that if I don't take it, there will be consequences. That's the sentence to use with your doctor. Be sure that there won't be consequences to not taking it of likely significance. Okay, because nothing is impossible. Doctors don't have magic crystal balls. But they do have clinical judgment.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Okay. So with that, happy herbs, everybody. And stay safe and well over the winter.
And thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. And hopefully that'll give you an insight to the symptoms and the natural supports for both acute and chronic sinusitis. We hope the conversation has helped you understand it a little bit better and given some practical ways to find relief, breathing easier. I love that when you showed us how to warm up the bone, and flare-ups that give you a bit better kind of breathing. If you found this episode helpful, feel free to share it with somebody who might be struggling with ongoing sinus issues. And remember, you can catch all previous episodes of the Herb Doctor podcast wherever you listen. Until next time, mind yourself, stay well, and keep breathing clearly if you can. And thanks for listening. And we'll talk to you very soon.